I'm excited about today. I'm excited about this series that we're in because I've been getting some good feedback from it. So I've been praying that lives are legitimately changed. I mean, obviously, that's what I pray for every Sunday, but I just think there's something a little bit special about this series and this particular time that we're talking about this. And this series is answering the question that we all ask at some point in time in our lives, and that is, why am I here? Why am I here? You know, what's my purpose? What is my calling in life? And when we started this series out a few weeks ago, you know, our calling in life is much deeper than our career or being a parent or being a good spouse. It's much deeper than that. It's kingdom of God stuff. And in order to find our true calling in life, the one that works within the kingdom of God here on earth, we simply start out by allowing God to love us. That's it. He doesn't ask us to trust Him. He doesn't ask us to obey Him. He doesn't ask us to hurry up and get involved in a church. He just wants us to dial it back a little bit and let Him love us. See, because when we get to a place in life where all the frenziness and all the stuff that's just, you know, and we come to Jesus, He is saying, listen, I can heal you. I can teach you. I can help build a relationship with you. And then what happens is we come to find out that that is the foundation of our purpose in life. Number one, let God love on us. And sometimes it's hard to even get to that place because maybe we have trust issues. Maybe we've had bad experiences with people. Maybe, you know, whatever. But God says, just let me love you. That's the beginning. And then what we have discovered so far is that God created mankind so that He could have a family to love. That's what He wanted. He didn't want to be controlling and all of this. There's all these misconceptions about God. God just wanted a family to love. That's the mind-boggling stuff of all of this, is that there's a creator out there in the universe that nothing or nobody else is higher than. And He didn't have anybody to love. So He created us. He wanted a family to love, and each person in that family, once we come to this place where we can allow Him to love us, we then find out that we have a place to belong. We have a place to belong. That's like the second calling. These are building blocks that we're talking about here. So when we find a place to belong, what does that mean? Well, the body of Christ, that is a definition of God's family, and that is worldwide. That is God's family. But then, just like our families, we have aunts and uncles and cousins and extended family and all these other families within our family name, right? Our family tree. So we have different denominations, and then within those denominations are different churches. All around the world, there's little families in this big family. And then even in these churches are small groups, little families within the bigger family, that's within the bigger family that belongs to the body of Christ. And we find where we belong within that family. And then once we establish that, a place where we belong, we can then move to what I'm calling the third point, the third building block in this series. And that is, we are called to become. We are called to become. Our third purpose in life that will help establish our God-given calling is that we are all called to become like Jesus. We are all called to become like Him. So what does that mean? I'm called to become like Jesus. It means that we are to take on the characteristics that He has. We are to be full of love, joy, peace, patience, self-control. We are to offer and extend grace and mercy to those around us. See, there are many passages in the Bible that compare becoming like Jesus to running a race. We're going to look at one of those today. There's a few others out there. But when it comes to becoming like Jesus, we're in a race. Our life is like a race. And it's a marathon. It's not a 50-yard dash. It's something that happens for a lifetime, because we will never fully attain that status of becoming like Jesus. It's something that we all strive to become, and we're in this race in life. The Bible compares it to a race. We'll kind of expand on that a little bit here. And we're also going to talk about doing some self-evaluating, a little self-reflecting that we need to do as we run this race. So we're going to look at some things today that will help us fulfill this building block in Christ. And one of the things that we're really going to kind of hone in on is, what is it that is weighing you down? For instance, anybody here run a marathon? Where's Mike Kale? Mike's one of our singers up here. Mike runs so many marathons, he came in here a couple weeks ago with his number still on his chest. Like, he ran a marathon, then he ran to church. We used to do 5Ks here and triathlons. Not me, I helped organize the events. Made sure everybody had their water when they crossed the finish line. But when you run a marathon, as we've all seen marathons, right? And even when it's chilly in the morning, are they wearing like big baggy heavy sweatsuits and you know, I mean, thick socks to keep their legs warm and hats and stuff? No. A marathon runner wears these really light, look expensive like running shoes, thin clothes, shorts, and a thin t-shirt, because they don't want to have any extra weight keeping them down as they run this marathon. And so the question is, what is keeping you from becoming the person God is calling you to be? And then again, like I said, to answer that question, we have to be honest with ourselves. We have to do some self-evaluation, some self-reflecting. For instance, what are you filling your mind with? This is a big one for me. Let's take artists. Let's take games. Let's take music. Let's take demonic imagery. What are you filling your minds with? Let's take music that you're listening to. What kind of lyrics are you listening to? Is it clean? Is it good? Is it something you ought to be filling your spirit with? What are you watching? Horror movies? Probably not the best thing to be watching. Really, if I'm being honest, it's not. That imagery, all of that stuff, it stays in your brain. You don't think it does, but it clutters you up and it weighs you down. How about internet sites that some of us know we have no business being on? Or how about, I'll move off to some easier topics. Who are you hanging out with that's not the best influence? What are the distractions, the time wasters, the dead ends that we need to stop pursuing? Let's look at a little passage in Hebrews chapter 12, which, by the way, I know that was a couple serious little topics there, so I just want to kind of break the ice. I got the green light from the guys in the sound room that I could go ahead and do this. And my father-in-law would probably be pretty proud about this. But does anybody here know how Moses makes his coffee? He brews it! Come on! All right. Benny, you can use that in your next comedy gig, really. That one's for free. Okay. Hebrews chapter, this is something it's in your mind now. You're always going to remember that. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. And this is the second part of verse 1, actually. Let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. So just so you know, I'm not making this stuff up. Now, I really kind of wanted to break this down because there's two things in this passage here. Let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. What exactly does that mean? So I went into some commentary, some old school stuff, like the guys hundreds of years ago would write about this stuff. And I kind of broke it down to this, just to keep it really simple. There are two things that can weigh us down. All right, what weighs you down? Distractions. Distractions that weigh us down. And then there are sins, the ones that so easily trip us up, the ones that we know that if we dabble in this, we're going to get ourselves in trouble. This is speaking to us as individuals. What is it that is a distraction in your life, and what is it that you know you ought not to be doing? Something we must do in becoming who God created us to be is constant self-evaluation. We have a saying in our house, if you have to ask, maybe you shouldn't be doing it. If you're asking yourself, is this a good idea for me to do? Should I be hanging out with this person tonight? Should I be listening to this music? Should I even be watching this movie? Should I click to go onto that website? If you have to ask, you probably shouldn't be doing it. So, like, one of the things that I did, and this is, you know, 20-some years ago, when I decided, like, hey, I am sold out for the gospel. My life is changing. Things are happening. This is good. You know, I'm in a good place. One of the things that I did to clear my mind, because at the time, too, the internet wasn't like it was today. We didn't have phones and iPads and everything that so easily distract us. But one of the things I did, and I believe that I was listening to the Holy Spirit because this wasn't my decision, I stopped listening to music altogether. I stopped listening to it all. Because music, I think music is spiritual. Now, think about this. I love music. I'm not a musician, but I love all kinds of music, all right? Even people that know me, you know, I mean, I'm not going to tell you what I listen to, but I love the jam bands. I love, you know, jazz and fusion and whatever, you name it. But it's a big part of my life. Think about this. Chip, what do you mean music is spiritual? Well, Satan was the chief musician in heaven, and he thought he could overtake God and got kicked out and is here on earth. Where do you think that music with all that demonic imagery comes from? So think about that. Music is spiritual. Everybody in here could probably agree with me that music does something to you. It could put you in a bad mood, or it can bring you out of a bad mood. It can get you, you know? Some of that death metal that we love. Who likes that stuff? I kind of do. Yes, Nick. Somebody does. There's always somebody that loves that. But music is powerful. So, you know, it was kind of triggering. It was taking me back in my mind to things that I was done doing. So I stopped listening altogether. And I didn't know at the time, but God was preparing me to get into the ministry, because all I did from there on out for a little over a year was read the Bible. That was it. And then I finally started listening to some music again, but it was only Christian music. And then after another year, about, you know, 2 years after I decided this, I started to listen to some music again, but only stuff without lyrics, because I didn't want those words in my spirit. And now I listen to, you know, whatever. I'm good. I'm in a good place, right? 20-some years later. But I'll tell you what, I will not listen to music if the artist has dabbled in the occult. I won't do it. You know, a lot of the hippies and stuff, if you look at them and do a little research, you will find out what their private life was like, and I just don't want that in my spirit. That's a personal conviction of mine. Okay, so something that might weigh me down would be that. Something that weighs us all down would be this. these are distractions. So anyways, that's just a little bit, you know, where I was at and kind of how I was able to run that race that God had set before me. Get your mind cleared, because what you're putting in is what's going to eventually come out. And I did that too because of passages in the book of Colossians. Again, you know, you might say, well, Chip, that's really nice. That's good for you, but it's not for me. Well, that's fine. Do you agree that the Word of God is the Word of God? Then let's read some passages here. In Colossians chapter 3, and I got three verses here, but I'll jump through here. Verse 2 says, think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. Fill your mind with this stuff. Verse 5, put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. And then he goes on to list a number of different kinds of things, sexual immorality, lust, and greed, and things of this world. Oh, I'm okay with that. All right, well, where are you at with anger and rage, malicious behavior, slander, dirty language? These are things that will weigh us down when it comes to running the race that God has set before us. Slander is a big one. I've made it a point that if somebody wants to come into my office and talk about a spouse or talk about somebody else without that person being present, I won't have it. Malicious behavior. What is that? That's probably all kinds of stuff. But these are things that the Bible says we ought not be doing. And then verse 10. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. So we are called to become like Jesus. That's what we're talking about today. Another passage in Philippians chapter 4 says, fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. So we all have things that we know will easily trip us up in our walk with Jesus. And we need to recognize that and do what it takes to strip off the things that are weighing us down. And the way to do that is to control what goes into our minds, what goes into our spirits. See, and then let's go back to Hebrews real quick, verse 12. Let us run the race with endurance that God has set before us. See, each of us has our own race to run. We discovered this at the very first of this sermon here. This is part 4. That race that we each have to run, that's the calling that God placed on our lives long before we were born. It's a race that only I can run. It's a race that only Kim can run. It's a race that only Mike can run, Paige can run. We all have our own race to run in life that God has said, this is what I created you to do. And to endure means that we have to be patient, not get in a hurry. When you run a marathon, you don't go as fast as you can right off the bat because you know you got 20-some miles to go. You take it easy as you go. It's when you see that finish line that you start going faster. To endure means that you're going to have hurdles to jump over, obstacles to go around, pain to push through. It's kind of like this. I have this neat analogy. A mushroom. It takes about 6 to 8 hours for a mushroom to grow, right? All of a sudden, you look out your front window, and you're like, where did all those mushrooms come from, you know, in your front yard? Like, what in the world? But you can kick one, and it'll fly across the yard and break up into pieces, right? Not easily rooted. Am I the only one? You know, it's not easily rooted, right? It's a mushroom. Ugh. God created them, 6 to 8 hours to grow. How about an oak tree? It takes an oak tree 50 years to actually reach its potential. An oak tree will not start dropping acorns until it's about 50 years old. I know this one too because there is one in our next door and it comes over our driveway and all of a sudden I'm like, where are all these acorns coming from? And I looked it up, like, at 50 years, they start dropping acorns. And they can last another 50 years. So oak trees last about 80 to 100 years. And an oak tree is stable, right? It's rooted. And when the winds come, an oak tree stands strong. In our front yard was a maple tree, probably about the same age as that oak tree. The maple tree is gone because it kept breaking and getting weaker as it got older. The oak tree stands strong. So, as a believer in Jesus, how do you want to see your life? You want to be a mushroom? You want to be an oak tree? I'll take the oak tree. Me too. I want to try as hard as I can to be an oak tree. So the question then becomes, how do we stay focused in this race? You know, let's say we stop doing some of the things that were weighing us down. You know, like, wow, maybe I shouldn't be listening to this. Maybe I shouldn't be watching that. Maybe I shouldn't be playing this. Let's say we do this, right? We're doing our best and we're doing good. So how do we stay focused? Well, Hebrews chapter, the next verse, verse 2, says, where's that? I can't find it in here. Here we go. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. How do you stay focused in this race? Keep your eyes on Jesus. How do you keep your eyes on Jesus? Well, you got to spend time with him. Don't raise your hand, but how many of you read your Bibles on a regular basis? How many of you have a special place that you go to spend time with Jesus? And you do it on a regular basis. Maybe you do it every day. Maybe you do it twice a week, three times a week. Now, I have a place in my office I call the one section, the living room section. That's where we meet and have fun and hang out. And then I have a couple chairs over here in this other section. And that's where I spend time with Jesus. And there's something different when I sit over there. Like, it's all of a sudden like the distractions are gone. Because I know what I'm going to do when I sit in that chair. I'm going to spend time with Jesus. Now, why should we do this? Because Jesus did this with the Father when he walked the earth. There are many passages in the Gospels where it says, Luke chapter 5, Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. Jesus had a special place to go, the wilderness. He went to hang out in the woods, maybe a mountainside, maybe a hillside, somewhere where he could spend time with the Father. Even the night he was betrayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, he told the disciples, wait here. He went off and spent time alone with the Father. My favorite one was the disciples wake up one morning and they can't find him and they start looking for him. And I could just imagine, like, oh, where's he at? Just go look in the woods. You'll find him. He's up all night praying, spending time with the Father because he knew that while he was here on this earth, he had to stay close to the Father so that he could not just become more like the Father, but stay in sync with the Father. If we want to become more like Jesus, we have to have special time with him. And we have to understand, Jesus did this often, so we should too. He had a special place to go, so we should too. Where we can talk to him, read about him, learn from him, study him, and become more like him. So that his character traits now become a part of who we are. See, everybody wants the quick fix in life, right? Oh, I want God to fix it. I want it to be done with, God. Take it away from me now. Well, that doesn't usually work, right? Because the race set before us is a marathon. This race set before us as believers in Jesus is not a quick thing. It's a marathon. You want Jesus to get rid of these things for you? Well, first of all, what is weighing you down? Maybe it's you that's keeping you from advancing the way you want to in life. And maybe there's a sin in there that's so easily entangling you up. You got to be honest with yourself, and you got to be honest with Jesus. If you're not, you're never going to advance in life the way the kingdom of God wants you to. In order to reflect the love of Jesus, we have to have communion with him on a regular basis. And when we establish that special time with him, here's what happens. His character then becomes a mirror in who we are as we see things the way he sees things, as we act the way he would act, as we understand people the way he understands people. That's what happens when we have regular time with Jesus. And that's all a part of this race of life as a believer of his. And then, through this special time, we become more and more like him as he initiates and perfects our faith. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus does his teaching where he talks about worrying. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't stress. Yesterday's gone. Just forget about it. Move on. Focus on today. You know, don't worry about what you don't have and all your needs. Your Heavenly Father will take care of everything you need. And then he finishes it with this. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then I'll just paraphrase it. Everything else will fall into place. You seek first the kingdom of God and he will take care of you. If you are honest about it, and you were self-evaluating things, and you were doing things as the best of your ability to do things the way you believe you should be, God will take care of you. Amen. So, when we spend time with Jesus, that means everything will be good, right? No more problems? Absolutely not. Sorry. Doesn't work like that. Even Jesus said, John chapter 16, in this world you will have troubles, but take heart. I've overcome the world. We are not exempt from hard times, and neither was Jesus. Let's read a little bit further here. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross. The joy awaiting him is us, eternity with us. He endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people, then you won't become weary and give up. This is a passage that I think a lot of us really need to have settled in our spirits. See, Jesus didn't have it easy when he walked this earth. Read the Gospels. He was lonely. He often spent time alone with God. He was criticized. He was constantly under attack. He was betrayed. He got worn out. He got tired. He took naps in a boat. He was misunderstood. He was spit upon. He was punched. He was cursed at. And he was nailed to a cross. You think he had it easy when he walked this earth? He had it harder than any of us will ever have in our lifetimes. All the while, he kept his eyes on the mission of the cross, disregarding its shame. Naked, hanging on that cross, a man who knew no sin, so you and I could enter into the kingdom of God and enjoy all its glory. That's what he did that for. He is our example, and he is the champion who is cheering us on in life and providing for us with the unlimited resources that he has in store for us when we ask. He's got everything we need. So, the next time you're in a difficult situation and you ask, why is this happening to me? Why is God letting this go on? Why are you doing this to me, God? And you're blaming God for your problems or the situation. Maybe it isn't even something that you had anything to do with, but you're in the midst of it. I would say, change the question to this. Jesus, what can I learn in the midst of this trial? Where can I find you so I can cling to you and follow you through this? How can you get me through this? Not why is it happening, why did you do this, and where are you at? Just cling to him. See, oftentimes, when I'm going through a difficult time, this is the kind of stuff that I focus on. I think of what Jesus did for me on the cross. Especially like when I'm sick, like really sick, and you're just like, you know, and you're dying. I'm like, well, if he could do that for me, I could just get through this. And some Tylenol, Pepto, something. Sorry. He brews it, right? But that's what I do, though. In a difficult situation, because of the joy awaiting him, Jesus endured the cross and disregarded all the shame that came with it. And I believe it's this mindset that gives me the strength to not get weary and not give up. Because when I meditate on stuff like that, when difficult times are coming my way, I know that the supernatural Holy Spirit hand of God will give me the strength and the resources and the mindset to get through it. I know this. And bringing this passage to life in our difficult situations is what builds our character and helps us to become more like Jesus. Listen, there's always going to be heartaches. There's always going to be trials. There's always going to be tribulations and hard times and things we didn't ask for. But in Galatians chapter 6, it says this: let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Don't get tired of doing good. Endure. Run the race. Run it strong. And don't give up. Because the blessing will come at the right time. Never, ever, ever, ever give up. Jesus will always see you through, and at just the right time, the blessing will come. The answer will come. And then you get to brag on how Jesus showed up at just the right time. Hebrews chapter 12, a little bit later on in there, 14 and 15, says this: work at living in peace with everyone, and to look after each other so none of you fails to receive the grace of God. This kind of ties in with what we talked about last week, where you're called to belong. Who is pushing you in life? Who is cheering you on in life? Who do you have? Who are you cheering on in life? Who are you encouraging in life? Who are you there for? You see, as the church, as God's family, we are all in this together, and we need each other. We must have people in our lives who will help us become the person Jesus created us to be. And you know where that starts? Small groups. Small groups. We call them life groups. That is where your relationships start in the church. That is where you begin to really kind of have conversations with people. I got this going on. It's a distraction. It's this, it's that. Things are weighing me down. People will pray for you. People will encourage you. You'll build relationships, and you'll have yourself a 2 a.m. friend who will be there for you no matter what. And has anybody in here joined a small group since last Sunday? Checked them out. Small groups, right here. Should be one in your bulletin. If not, you'll find one out in the foyer. Join one today. Ours meets tonight at 6 p.m. here at the church. I expect a couple new people there. All right, the last thing I'll say is this. Philippians chapter 1. This is what the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Philippi. And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. Don't ever give up, church. Don't ever give up on where Jesus is in your life, because he created a good work in you. That's why you're here. If this is your first time, if you've been coming here for years, he created a good work in you, and he is not going to be finished until the day Jesus returns. So, no matter how difficult things get, we were all created to become like Jesus. We may run the race with a limp at times, and we may be sidelined tending to some wounds. But always remember, we are called to be loved, we are called to belong, and we are called to become like Jesus. And God always finishes what he starts. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, man, I just thank you, Jesus. I thank you, God, for how you were always there for us. I thank you for passages like this that show us, God, how to become like you, and that teach us, God. And I give you the praise for that. And God, I pray for anybody here, Lord God, who's struggling with this, Lord. I pray that as we enter into a time of worship, that you would speak to us, God. Maybe there's things that are weighing us down. Maybe there's things that just popped out in our minds, like, man, maybe I shouldn't be doing that. Maybe that's what my struggle is. God, I pray you would reveal that to us as we head into a time of worship. Be with us today, God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.